Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the gospel service this evening. Now, I've been thinking lately about the gospel. The gospel means good news. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You know, in these days, when depression and the headlines in the papers, uncertainty, wars and rumours of wars, people who have no hope or little hope, good news is very welcome. And what better news could be than the story of the gospel? An old hymn says, "The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives." Now, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ died for sinners. He paid the price of our penalty. And if I could just read a part of the good word of God, it gives us the gospel in a nutshell. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll read verses 1 to 8. And it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen also of me also, as the one born out of time or due time." Now, we just ask, and the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Now, I've just taken a note of two or three things here, though. That word, that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he arose, and that he was seen. You see, we, this evening, preach a Saviour that's not dead, but he's alive. And alive forevermore. And when think about that Christ died, what did he die for? You know, God didn't have to send his son into this world. Not really. But he did. He came to die for sinners, just like we. And he was buried. Loving hands took our Saviour from the cross, wrapped him in fine linen. They placed him in a tomb that never man laid. And the Romans rolled the big stone and sealed it. But thank God, he was raised. God raised him from the dead. I think that hymn says, death could not hold its prey. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. And then the great witness. He was seen. As I say, we preach a Saviour that's alive. He was just watching the scene of Mary at the tomb. He was seen by plus 5,000. If I could count, it's about 530 people in just in that short time. And Paul says, and I think this is great, he was seen of me also. And what a testimony that is from Paul. And then, my memory is not good. And these verses that we read gives us the heart of the gospel. And I could say, if we take two words together, it gives us it in twofold. That he died and he was raised. And Psalm 16, I like to read this because sometimes we get the things wrong. Psalm 16 and verse 10, it says here, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. He was raised for our justification. And when you think about this, this was written long, long before Calvary. And then the second fact, he was buried. And then he was verified his death. All these people said they had seen Christ. And when you think about it, in 1 Corinthians, and I've spoken about this already, verse 5, 6, 7 and 8, you have these words, that he was seen, he was buried, that he rose. And then the words of God says, and these are God's words, not mine, in Romans 3 and 23, I don't have to look that up, I think I know it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now this I was told I was wrong in, but I wrote it down anyway. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, I seem to get things mixed up when I read the Bible, but 1 John I can find it. In verse 8 it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And in verse 7, verse 10. And this is the one I got mixed up with. But we'll read it anyway from the Bible. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, that is God, a liar, and his word is not in us. And the next thing I took on, good works will never save you. It doesn't matter what you try to do. Many strive to get to heaven with good works. You can have all the money in the world. You can never buy yourself to heaven. You see, Christ paid the price at Calvary. He said, "It is finished. Done is the work that saves. Once and forever done." And this evening, if you're trying some other way to get to heaven, it's futile. It says in Ephesians, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And Christ died to save sinners. How wonderful. For people like us, Christ died for you and for me. And you know, it's marvelous when you think about it. I like that saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, that thou should visit him?" And then, it says in the Bible, everyone who believes will have everlasting life. It's not a hard thing to do. It's simple. Just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he left heaven's glory, came to the scene of time. When we read the word of God, all the wonderful things that he did. But what could man say? Away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. You know, and he took his beloved son and they nailed him to a cross. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten." Now, some people stop there and say that's 12 words, and then the son's in the middle. "But for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, some time ago, somebody asked me, and it was a close friend, "How do you know you're saved?" You know, and sometimes somebody asks you a question that stumps you a bit. And I just thought for a couple of minutes, and the only answer I could give him was, I just took God at his word. And this evening, we can think about Romans 10 and 9. And I remember once I asked this, I think it was up at Simon's house, Romans 10 and 9. And very few people knew it, the song. Romans 10 and 9 is a favourite verse of mine. It says there, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, some time ago, I accepted Christ as my Saviour. And he has kept and provided for me ever since. You know, when I look round the hall, I think most of the people possibly weren't even born at that time. It's almost 70 years. It's a long, long time. And tonight I couldn't recommend a better, faithful, true friend. And could I just leave the simple word with you? There might be some more words to come, but could I leave this simple word? Gospel. Six letters. Good news, he's got seven. That's it. So, I just try to break this down. G. God created all the universe and everything in it, including the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve. His work was complete. They had fellowship with God. They had no sin. And they knew no sin. And you know the story, how Satan tempted Eve. And sin came into the world. Again, I thought about the letter O. Our sin separates us from God. By one man's disobedience, we were made sin. We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. The blame game started way back in the garden. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And we still blame everybody for the problems that's in the world. We even blame God. We hear of earthquakes, wars, and we say, why did God allow this? It's sin. Man-made. Then I thought about the word S, the letter S. Sin cannot be removed by good deeds. From the beginning, humanity has attempted to remove the stain of sin by good deeds. Not possible. There's only one person who could remove your sin. Take that burden away, and it's Christ Jesus our Lord. And then P came up. Christ paid the penalty. Paid the penalty for sin. On the cross, Christ finally said, the work was finished. He finished the work his Father gave him to do. The Father sent his Son. And the Son knew all things that would befall him. But he still went to the cross. For you and for me. In knee. Everybody that trusts him. And this is the great thing. Has eternal life. The amazing thing about eternal life, it's a free gift. You have nothing to pay, nothing to do. It's given to us through faith. And then L, and I think you can guess what that is. L is for life eternal. Part of the reality of eternal life, it doesn't start after you die. But as soon as you believe and face Christ as your Saviour, that's good news. Trust in Jesus Christ. That's the message this evening. Take him as your Saviour tonight. Tomorrow may be too late. I've got a little poem or a song from a friend of mine. And it says on it, it's not, sorry, I think I have better doing this one. It just says, it's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who travelled from afar. It's not just about good things in this life we have done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies we have won. It's not all about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about his precious blood that saved me from my sin. The beginning of this story is wonderful and great. It's ending that can save you. Then that's why we celebrate. And then he goes on to say, it's all about the cross. It's all about my sin or your sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's Son nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. I thought that was wonderful. I wonder if we could just bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee this evening for thy well-beloved Son. We thank thee for the one who came into this world. We thank thee for the one who drew salvation's plan. For the grace that brought it down to mine. For the mighty wrath that God despised at Calvary. And our Father, this evening we thank you for this gospel we have to tell. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good news to all sinners. And our Father, this evening, as we sit here in thy presence with hearts bowed, we can just say thank you for thy Son. Thank you for his crosswork. And if there are any in this hall this evening are undecided, always remember, boast not thyself of tomorrow. And our Father, we just ask that thou wilt part us with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. In the Saviour's wonderful, wonderful name. Amen.